everyone. Welcome back to But What Will People Say? I'm your host, Disha Mazeppa, and this is a South Asian Interracial Relationship and Lifestyle Podcast.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back for another episode.
This is covering self-worth and ways to maybe work on improving it. This was a request from the anonymous submissions box. So if there's ever an episode request or a situation you'd like us to talk about on the show, drop it in the anonymous submission box. It's linked in the show notes. And I try to get through as many of them as I can that I feel like would be helpful or relatable to other listeners on the show. As always, a friendly reminder, I'm not a therapist and I'm basically going through all of this with you guys in my own phases in my life. So a lot of this will be personal experiences and things that have worked for me. So some of it will be relatable, some of it might not be. None of this is medical advice. Again, I'm not a therapist. So let's get into it. Okay, so self-worth. This is something I definitely still struggle a lot with. So that is the other disclaimer for this episode. It is just something I'm always working on. Some days I feel like I've taken 10 steps forward. Other days I'm in the bottom of the black hole that I crawled out of. So, you know, if you're tuning in, just remember you're going to have good days and bad days and everything in between. And that's okay. But self-worth as a concept gets kind of wrapped up in self-esteem, the way we see ourselves and how much value we feel like we have as an individual in this world. And it's really normal to, you know, struggle with your self-worth. It's part of the human experience. Depending on the situation and the people around you, you will all end up in situations where maybe your self-esteem isn't as high as you want it to be, or maybe you don't view yourself in the best possible light. Like I said, we all have good days and bad days, and our environment also impacts that. For those of you who have kids, this is my little pediatric OT brain kicking in. Self-esteem is established by age 5. So if you want to fill your little kid's brain with lots of positive affirmations and build the worldview they have of themselves, 0 to 5 is the age to do it, because fixing it after that is really hard. It's nearly impossible and can't be fixed until they are adults. So not saying it's impossible, just saying this from a what I know about children perspective. But that's not the rabbit hole I'm going to go down today. Today, the rabbit hole I'm going to go down is figuring out how we as a group can improve our self-worth. So the way I sort of separate self-esteem and self-worth a little bit is I look at self-esteem as more of a confidence thing. Like, do you feel like you're beautiful, or that you can walk into a room and people will listen to you, or when you look in the mirror, are you happy with what you see? Versus self-worth is, do you feel like you have value? And that value then impacts the way you interact in the world. So if you have low self-worth, it could manifest in ways like, are you letting people treat you poorly and not standing up for yourself because you feel like you deserve to be treated poorly? Or do you worry about spending money on yourself because you don't feel like you're worth it, whatever amount that might be, unless it's justified? Do you not say no when you should because you have to do what's best for you sometimes because you don't think you deserve that you everyone else knows better and you're willing to let them decide what's best for you? So that's kind of how I conceptualize it. I didn't look up the actual definitions, so these are my definitions, okay? And for me, in my personal experience, I feel like I have low self-worth, but I don't have low self-esteem. I don't look in the mirror and feel poorly about myself, but I don't inherently feel valued as a person, and not by other people. Lots of people value me, but I myself don't think I'm worth a whole lot. And so for me, the way it manifests is money. and I've talked about it a billion times on the show. I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself. Where I won't, I used to really struggle to spend money on myself on anything that was frivolous. And the way I reframed it was, is it frivolous or is it just feminine? Which doesn't solve my self-worth issue, but it was an easier framework to look at my spending on non-essentials, such as a little iced coffee or getting my nails done or buying myself a book. Because I think society also bills anything that is feminine as frivolous and non-essential. But when a guy buys himself a car that's worth 30 grand, but it's really just a toy because it's a midlife crisis, it's, you know, it's heralded very differently. No one says it's a frivolous purchase. They're like, oh yeah, they worked really hard, they deserve it. Like, and the rest of us are just fucking chopped liver in the back. So that is a helpful mindset. And it's also something where the people around me have helped me feel better about it, because I used to not spend any money on myself. I still remember the day I remember it was $111 for concert tickets to see my favorite band, Maroon 5. I was in college, and it, you know, it was my own money that I had worked for. I remember buying those tickets and the buyer's regret. I mean, a month later, I was still thinking about, should I get a refund? Should I not go to the concert? Those were really expensive. And it would just be this loop I would get stuck in. And over time, the thing that has worked is reframing the way I look at money and reminding myself that I'm worth investing in. And my husband said the right thing, where he was like, you don't have to earn every purchase you make. You can just get it because you want it. There doesn't have to be a justification or a need. It doesn't have to be an essential. It can, you are allowed to buy things for no reason other than because you want them. And he was like, you're not irresponsible when it comes to spending money. You can afford to buy a coffee for no reason or get your nails done every week. You've worked so hard to get here. You deserve to do those things. And he's like, even if you went to work and, you know what, maybe you half-assed your job that week because you were tired, that doesn't mean you don't deserve to get your nails done. You should still do it because it brings you joy. And having someone on the outside reiterate things like that is really helpful. But if you don't have someone like that, affirmations and self-talk can be really important. But I'm going to get into that in a little bit. I don't want to sidetrack. The other thing for those of you whose self-worth manifests in spending habits that's helpful is, what's his name? Ramit something with an S. You all know him. He's the rich life guy. He's Indian. And he talks about what defining what your rich life is. And one of the anecdotes he tells is, so much of our spending habits and the way we look at money stems from our childhoods. And he said, I grew up, you know, with immigrant parents who never, ever bought drinks or appetizers at restaurants. You were never allowed to. You just got your entree because it was the biggest portion and you could share it with your siblings and you could take leftovers home, blah, blah, blah. And so now as an adult, he said, part of what I define as a rich life, even though I don't know if he's a millionaire, but he said, even if you're not a millionaire, is I do the things that I couldn't do when I thought we were poor, or something like that. I'm paraphrasing, but he talks about how every time he goes to a restaurant, every time without thinking twice about it, gets himself a drink and gets himself an appetizer. And it's kind of a healing your inner child kind of thing. Not that it's that traumatizing to grow up without being able to get an appetizer at a restaurant, but it's a really small thing that can make you feel really wealthy that isn't overtly a massive expense, right? What is an appetizer? $10 to $20 at most places if you go to a regular restaurant. But the value in what it makes you feel is so much more. My version of that is buying books. So as a kid, I grew up, I was a library kid. I had a library card. I'm pretty sure my only friend was a librarian at some point. But I could never buy books. I remember distinctly growing up really not owning any books. I always had to go to the library. And I would even go to the library waiting outside at 7 a.m. for the door to open so I can get a book that just came out and I didn't want anyone else to borrow it. And I still use the library. I still borrow books all the time. But I also buy books very frequently. And it doesn't have to be a book that like, oh, I already read it and I really loved it, so I want to own it. Sometimes it's I went to Barnes & Noble's because it's the only bookstore around me and just did a little book haul and got myself a few books because they looked good. And you know what? There's a good chance I'm probably only going to read it once. There are only a handful of books that I will reread, and most likely they will be fantasy books. If you give me a contemporary romance, I read it once, I forgot the character's name once I closed the book, and I don't remember the plot, but they fell in love, that's it. Guess what? I still own them. They're sitting on my shelf right now. And it's such a small thing, but it added so much joy to my life to feel like, you know what? I have made it because I can own books now. Super silly. That's my anecdote. But for you, it can be something like that. That thing that you maybe couldn't have that you can prove to yourself like you've made it. But other people, I know self-worth from a South Asian home's perspective stems from our achievements and what you've accomplished. How many letters and degrees do you have after your name? What kind of job title do you have? How much money do you make? What kind of car do you drive? What neighborhood do you live in? It's very, very deeply ingrained in South Asian culture, and separating our self-worth from literally the number on the check, right? Because all of these things are a reflection of how much money you make, right? Could you send your kid to school to get 100 PhDs and a medical degree? You know, can they buy the house? Are they making six figures? Nowadays, it's like mid six figures. I've even heard brown girls say things like, all my friends are making like $300,000, $400,000 a year. And I'm sitting here like, wow, I'm not going to tell you how much money I make. But I seem a lot happier than you because this is the wrong thing to fixate on. But anyway, that's a side rant. Separating it can be really hard. I know I still sometimes struggle with it, you know, when I'm doing my taxes and I look at how much money I brought in this year versus how much money my husband brought in, and then looking at his earning potential versus mine, la la la. It can feel like not great. Okay. But again, in those situations, having a partner that isn't sitting there pointing a finger and being like, oh, well, I make double than you and you barely made half. So, you know, you need to work harder, or maybe you should try harder in your career, or maybe you should get a better job. Have you considered interviewing other places? Don't do stupid shit like that to people. Don't do it. If you are marrying someone for the income that they earn, that's fine. And you can have that relationship. I'm just not interested in that. So I'm just not going to do that. But I know a lot of South Asians do. And I'm not saying like your income doesn't matter. Like we all have to freaking pay bills. It sucks. But it shouldn't determine your inherent value as a person. The fact that you woke up in the morning, you breathe air, is enough for you to be valued on this planet. So if you're sitting here wondering like, how do I know I'm worth enough? You woke up today, and if you can be kind to people, if you can do something nice for someone, if you can help someone, that is value that you can't even put a price tag on, okay? Just the fact that you exist is enough. You don't have to do anything exceptional. You don't have to go above and beyond. You can just be, and that's enough. Now, if you're a serial killer, that's a different story. You're not adding value to our society. You gotta go. But the rest of like the 99.9%, you're probably a decent human being. And that's enough. You're good. Congratulations. You live to see another day. And it's funny because sometimes you hear that and it blows people's minds, especially South Asians, to be told that just the fact that you exist is enough because you have a conditional household where you had to earn your parents' love and you had to show them, oh, look at my straight A's. And then all my little honors kids and AP students who got all the straight A's and graduated at the top of their classes, you went through life being told over and over again that you were special, that you're so much smarter than the other kids. Look, you're an honor student. You are the gifted and talented kid. You were made to believe if you got all the highest grades that you were going to be exceptional as an adult. You weren't going to be like the other peasants in the regular classes. No, you were going to make it in this life far beyond those other kids. And then you left school and the playing field levels out. So if you're still in college, remember that. As soon as you get out into the real world, that playing field levels out. I don't care how many PhDs you have. I know people with bachelor's degrees making way more money than the PhD student working at Starbucks. And not always is that true, but when it comes to that feeling of self-worth, if you are raised constantly being told you're supposed to be exceptional, and then you grow up and you have a PhD and the best job interview you got was working at Starbucks, well, that finance bro in your undergrad class is living in his penthouse apartment in New York, it feels like shit. So don't worry about all those little accolades and accomplishments and those people. And I was one of those. I remember from fourth grade, I was put into gifted and talented. They wanted me to skip a grade, this whole thing. My mom was like, she has no social skills. We're not letting her skip a grade. And good job, mom. Good call. I didn't. But I grew up, got the master's degree, did the thing, and I don't feel like I'm good enough because I keep thinking, when am I going to do something that's special? I got all the straight A's. I have all the degrees. And yet, I'm so unhappy.
So for those of you listening that are younger, that are hyper-focusing on external validation for self-worth, stop doing it. I promise you it will get you nowhere in life and you're not going to be any happier for it. And that doesn't mean I'm miserable. I've made a lot of changes, but my life now has very little reflecting in it that I worked for when I was younger, if that makes sense. I'm not defined by that degree I got. And all those straight A's, all those certificates for perfect attendance and neatest handwriting and stupid things that millennial kids got when they were in school, none of it matters. And the reality is, the older you get, those accolades start to slow down as you get into sort of the grind of life. There are no more accolades and achievements. Once in a while, I hear corporate companies give out little trophies for random things to keep their employees from quitting. But at the end of the day, it's not a reflection of who you are. Your tier rank in the company, your title, whatever it is not going to fill the void of self-worth you have or that chip on your shoulder by filling it with accolades. You have to feel like you're enough without those things. Because here's the thing, when you go around and you think you deserve a better salary or a better position or that promotion, whatever that achievement is, if you have the self-worth, you're willing to put in the kind of assertion it takes to get those things and go after it in a way that if you don't have self-worth, when you don't get that promotion, you're just going to tell yourself that, oh, well, I didn't work as hard as the guy next to me, or I didn't deserve it. And I honestly, half the time, these promotions have nothing to do with how hard you worked. I've watched corporate companies, just personality hires will get farther than the people doing all the work. The people doing all the work get stuck in the middle because they actually get things done. So if we promote them too far up, who's going to do all their work? But the personality hires, they start turning into the faces of the company and they're doing half as much work as you. But if you think you deserve it, or you can go in and say, hey, this is why I think I should get this job, or
negotiate your salary, which I highly recommend people do. Please negotiate your salary. Even if the number they gave you is great, negotiate anyway. It impacts your long-term outcomes. But you have to have self-worth to do that. Otherwise, you're just like, I'm so grateful they offered me a job. I didn't even think I could get it. Which you can think that, that's fine, but you have to act the opposite. So faking it till you make it might be helpful. I fake it till I make it all the time. I'm still doing it in life. And faking it till you make it, I think where that for me has worked the best is the way I talk to myself. So much of our self-worth is the voices in our own head. I've said this 100 times, make sure the voices in your head are your own and not the parents and teachers and siblings you grew up with who made you feel small, who said, if you don't work hard enough, I won't love you. If you don't get an A, it's because you're not smart. If, you know, oh, why are you so dumb? Why couldn't you do that? You know, all of those things are probably things people said to you when you were younger, and then you grow up and those are the voices in your head. And the way that has worked for me to do it is, it's called having tea with yourself. And you can do this as a, just like a thought project in your head. I like the physical doing it where I will make myself a cup of tea and I will sit down at my little table with a blank seat in front of me, an empty seat. And in my head, the person across from me is like 5-year-old, 10-year-old, 18-year-old Disha. And I'm talking to her as a 31-year-old giving myself advice. So for example, say I didn't get a job I applied for. 18-year-old me is sitting here venting and complaining about it and being upset and tearing herself apart. But 31-year-old Disha is sitting there listening and telling her the, I guess, healed version, right? Maybe this is healing your inner child. I don't know. And it's a really helpful way of reframing the way you talk to yourself. Because if I always say I don't take my own advice. I sit around on this podcast telling you guys all these things and I turn around, I get in my car and I cry because I hate myself. Like, whatever. And so what has helped is stuff like this where I will just sit there and picture a younger version of me and talk to her like I would talk to if one of you guys as a listener was sitting across from me having these issues, and being a lot more kind and understanding and generous and supportive instead of you're such an idiot or you didn't get the job because you didn't even try that hard. You could have tried a little harder, but what did you expect to happen? And almost scaffolding this negative thought cycle. And so that's unhealthy. You shouldn't do that. And maybe one day I'll take my own advice. But externalizing it and turning it into like a physical practice like that with, you know, having tea with myself has been really helpful. It could be something you could try. It worked for me. The other thing is, I think when you look at your accomplishments in life, a lot of those things that were given value were values your like parents gave you, you know, that, oh, if you have this house or you have this car, you'll have made it. And I think it's important to ask, are the dreams that you're having, are they your dreams or are they somebody else's dreams that you're living? Because if you're living someone else's dream, you can only lose. You can be surrounded by all the nicest things in the world and you'll still be unhappy. Because you've never had a chance to find yourself and what values you have and what matters to you. And you have to figure that out. Because then you can start reframing what brings you worth, if that makes sense. I'm not sure if I'm explaining this well. But make sure that whatever dreams you're chasing or goals you're trying to achieve are your own. And not ones set by other people or by society or by your significant other or whatever. Just make sure they're your own. If the self-worth and self-esteem is starting to overlap and you're struggling with your confidence, we've talked about these things a million times on the podcast, but I will say the best way to build confidence is to do hard things. Set goals and challenges for yourself that you don't think you could do or would be really challenging for you, and start hitting those goals. And then you will see that you are quite capable, and it will raise your confidence more and more over time. It can be really small. For example, joining a fitness class in a studio you don't know anyone in, or a workout that you don't think you'd be good at. I can't tell you, as a kid who's been doing yoga since she was 16, when I tell people or encourage them to take a yoga class with me, the first thing out of their mouth is, oh, I'd be terrible at yoga. I can't even touch my toes, or that would be so hard. And they're already talking themselves out of it. Meanwhile, what you do on the mat is yours. You don't have to compare yourself to the person next to you. You don't even have to do what the instructor says, quite frankly. I have a lady in my hot yoga class who comes in and that room is like 100 degrees. She doesn't follow the flow at all. She just lays there in child's pose, vibing to the music. And I wish I had that kind of confidence. You know, I look at her and you know what? I look at her and it makes me smile to see someone just having fun and enjoying being in a space and taking a yoga class in the capacity that brings them joy. So many of us wouldn't have the balls to do that. So do the things that are hard in whatever capacity you can. Take the rock wall class. Take a course to learn leadership skills if you want to be a corporate baddie. You know, apply for the job you don't think you're qualified for and show up to the interview and, you know, make them think that you can do it and you are the best person for the job, because you know what? You can do anything. Getting back to the affirmations, one thing that has worked for me is writing physically, pen to paper, not on your notes app, not on your computer or your iPad. Grab a pen, get a journal, and write the thoughts you're having, whether you're spiraling in a negative self-talk loop or you just want to build yourself back up. It's kind of like that tea activity, having tea with yourself, but you're writing to yourself, or you're writing out your thoughts, because then when you're in a better headspace and you read it back, or even after you write it out, read it back almost as if someone else wrote it, and then try to reframe it, because it's really easy to get locked into a loop in your own head. But if you can write down whatever thoughts you're having, it's easier to objectively look at them when they're just sitting on paper instead of in your head. Because think about when thoughts live in your head, they're surrounded by the environment that created them, your little brain. But when they're on paper, that environment gets taken away. It's just a white sheet of paper. So you can look at it more objectively. And also making lists of the things you love about yourself, or positive affirmations, whether that's writing down, I am enough, or I'm capable, or I'm beautiful. Write it down and leave it in a list in your journal and look at it whenever you feel like crap about yourself. And this is something I've done. It's literally the first page of this little notebook I'm reading out of for this episode. It's right in the front. I've got a whole list. And every now and then I just look back at it, and I have probably 50 things on that list. And it always makes me feel a little bit better to read the positive things I had to say about myself. And over the years, I've gotten better at having a little more self-compassion and giving myself a little more grace and being understanding of myself. It just takes time. None of this will happen overnight. And the last thing I'm going to say is surround yourself with cheerleaders. I know that I'm someone who, I have so many amazing people surrounding me in my life that will tell me over and over again how they think I'm so creative and so smart and you're so thoughtful, you're so generous. And my immediate thoughts were always like, no, I'm not. And one day someone, I don't remember who it was, they were like, you hear all these people around you praising you. And these are people like your best friend, your spouse, your family members that love you so much. They're not people who have to say anything to you, quite frankly. But they're saying all these things. Why don't you believe them? I feel like that was something my therapist said. But it was such a interesting question to be asked, because I didn't know why. I just didn't. even now when people are like, oh, like, you work so hard on this podcast and like, it's helped so many people. My immediate thought sometimes is like, this is like some basement ass podcast nobody listens to. Like, what are you talking about? But then I get messages. I have tons of messages from you guys that will say the opposite, that have said, this show has helped me so much. This show has helped me feel so seen. And that's why I have a literal folder of your messages that say those things. Because no matter how many times someone says something positive about the show, I still tear myself up about it, saying like, oh, it's really not even that good. Or like, nobody cares. Like, whatever. But then when someone was like, why don't you believe them? Like, these, you guys who message me, you don't have to say shit to me. You could just go on with your life, tune into your show and live your life. But some of you take the time to write me paragraphs about your lives and the way this show has helped you. And I literally one day had to be like, why don't I believe them? And I was like, because I'm an idiot, which is not the, again, not a positive way to frame it. But it's like, believe them. They don't have to do this. They're doing this because you made an impact. And so I think sometimes it's helpful to ask yourself, why don't you believe it when someone says something nice about you? It's a really small question, but at the same time, it's a really big question. So yeah, that's all I have to say on self-worth. I hope this was helpful, and I'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. Make sure if you enjoyed this episode, you leave us a review on iTunes. You can find the show on all major streaming platforms. You can find me on Instagram at Disha.Mazeppa. You can shop my Etsy shop, Disha Mazeppa Designs. Find out everything you want to know about this show at DishaMazeppa.com. And if you or someone you know would like to be a guest, you can email bwwpspodcast@gmail.com. And I'll see you guys next time. Bye. This podcast is hosted and produced by Disha Mystery Mazeppa. Music for the show was created by Crexwell.